Number 39 of Doc Solid. 39.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come here this morning and gather. Hear another portion of thy word and sing songs of praise to your great name, Lord. Be with us as we go through this service. May everything we do be in accordance with thy will. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Got any birthdays this morning? Sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Many, many more. Okay, now what you got? Brother Lee.
I do.
I bet he does.
Guaranteed. I guess we're all aware of Joanne Wilson's funeral was last week. And I think her family still needs prayer. This would be Charlene Montgomery's mother. COVID outbreak at Thompson Hood Veterans Center calls for prayer from us, not only for the residents and the staff there, but also for Leslie Horn and Tammy View and Becky Hildebrand, who worked there. And also for David Garrett's brother, Tommy, who had a stroke just recently and is a patient there now. So we ask you, too, to continue in prayer for Chris and Rhoda Christie, who are both patients at Sayre Christian Village Nursing Home, and for Grace Lunsford and her sister Lisa Maines.
My lungs are much better now, so I'm very happy.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for praying.
Thank you, Grace. Yeah.
But I do pray for the mood.
And we ask you continued prayer for our friends that are undergoing cancer treatment, Bud Jeanette and Randy Olson and Allison Moss and Kaden Guy. That continues to be a need. And certainly our college students. I'll run through the names of them. David View has already graduated. Then there's Allie Claggett and Nathan Marshall and Maria Day and Lainey Knowles. Dalton and Katie Bowman, who will graduate this spring and are looking for graduate schools. Olivia Wright and Shelby Montgomery. So we ask you to pray for their health and for their safety and for their faith. And there's Maxine Mulkey, who has a broken arm. We'd ask you to pray that she'll not need further surgery on that arm, too. Two announcements, in addition to these prayer requests. If possible, I'd like to meet with the officers after church just for a few minutes. Any of you that are here, elders or deacons. And we're going to discontinue our posting our service on Facebook after the end of January. So you've been tempted to stay home and have church on Facebook. You can't do it much longer with this church because our service won't be on after the end of January. Yes, Danny?
I have another prayer request. A lady I work with, Charlene Hale, she had surgery this week. She had part of her colon taken out. This is like her sixth surgery she's had for the same issue. And she's did in the hospital. And I worked for her for about 8 years.
Charlene?
Hale.
Hale?
Uh-huh.
H-A-L-E?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Charlene Hale. All right.
Brother Lee, I have a prayer request as well. I'd like to put Ron Cundup on the prayer list. His cancer is back. They'll operate on him Wednesday in Cleveland.
What's the name again?
Ron Cundup on Tiger Cundup Funeral Home.
Oh, Ron Cundup. Okay. Ron Cundup. All right.
Brother Lee, I also had a couple that I forgot about, but now I remember them. But everybody in Florida told me to tell you all that they say hello and they think about you all the time and all that. But back years ago, there was a couple that attended church here named Gerald and Judy McCauley. I don't know if anybody here still remembers them, but they're both in Florida, and Judy is in the hospital in Winter Haven, Florida, with COVID. And she has been in ICU since the 9th of January, and she's really bad shape. So,
Judy McAuliffe?
McCauley.
McCauley. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Gerald and Judy McCauley.
Okay, thank you. Let me put the name down. McCauley. All right. And just a word about the Facebook thing. We've been able to do that simply because Ron Main has done it for us. And it'll be a year come March that we've been doing that. But it eats up an awful lot of time after church is over. I mean, it doesn't end when church is over. There's a lot of work that goes into that. So we're going to discontinue that after the end of January, or suspend it, at least. That doesn't mean that we'll never be on there again, but we will suspend it after the end of January. And so these are three other names to add to the list: Charlene Hale and Judy McCauley and Ron Cundiff. Well, as you know, we serve communion here every Sunday, and I don't know if there's anybody in the parking lot this morning that needs to be served, but if there is, I hope that you will let us know you're out there. Blink your lights or blow your horn or come to the door and let us know. This recent development of a vaccine for the COVID infection has reminded some people of when Dr. Jonas Salk developed a vaccine for polio. I remember when that happened, and it was a big deal. Back in 1955, people began to receive the polio vaccine, and everybody was excited, including Jonas Salk's 5-year-old son, Jonathan. In fact, Jonathan told his best friend, he said, "Billy, I'm famous, and so is my dad." Sometimes I think we Christians feel proud that we attend church regularly, or we don't drink or cuss, or we give money when there's an emergency, and childishly, we think we're a big deal, when it's really our Father that's famous. Let's make sure we give him the credit that only he deserves. And Jesus suggested that we let our light shine before others, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Every week we have a reminder of where the credit belongs. The Lord's Supper tells us over and over again that Jesus gave his body and his blood to pay for our sins. We had no goodness of our own, but he allows us to put on his righteousness and be acceptable to God. And that's why we celebrate every Sunday the sacrifice of Christ.
Communion song will be number 123. 23, break down the bread of life.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house this morning. Lord, you provide us with so much to be thankful for, and we appreciate it all. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for freedom, which we have the opportunity to travel around this country and see your great creations. And Lord, every time we go out on a journey while here on earth, it is always good to come home and be at your earthly home. But Lord, when we take that last journey and there is no returning to your earthly home, it would be a sad, sad time if you didn't provide us with an opportunity for eternal life. But you took care of that, even though it took your only begotten Son. And we partake of this cup, which represents his blood, and this bread, which represents his body, that it took for us to have this opportunity, Lord, and we are grateful. And in his Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Church you've provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing you give us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
There are not a lot of us here this morning, so you're going to have to sing out and make up for the ones that are not here. Let's turn to hymn number 467 and sing together when we all get to heaven. Okay, number 467. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. All right, number 529 is another song we want to share this morning. Just the first and the last verses of No, Not One. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was e'er a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will He refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Number 414 is our prayer hymn this morning. And let's sing just the first verse of Sweet Hour of Prayer as we stand together and join in prayer to God. Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a wilderness, that made me at my Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped snare by thy return, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Dear God, we're so grateful to know that you are a God of love and forgiveness, but also a God of order and righteousness and truth. We believe you will fill us with your Spirit as we worship here today. But we're all aware that in our nation's capital and throughout this land, strife and contention are threatening to destroy the blessings you've showered on this people. So we pray earnestly that somehow you will bring good out of what appears to be a very bad situation. And bless this nation again, so that your name will not be shamed. And help us each one to wear the name of Jesus with honor, so the world can see at least a little bit of Him in us. Show us how, dear Father. We pray all this because of Jesus and in His name. Amen. I don't have a single scripture text for this message, but I'll be using several scriptures throughout the message. From Ephesians and Philippians and Jeremiah. So, but as we head into this new year, what's everybody hoping? Hoping it's going to be a better year than last year, right? I have a friend who's an outstanding seamstress. She has a sewing machine that'll do almost anything. I think it could fix dinner for you if you wanted it to, but she makes some of the most remarkable things on that machine, and she is making, and I think she's selling them, a Christmas tree ornament, which has the slogan that I'm sure you have already heard, 2020, stink, stank, stunk, you know. We're just hoping this is going to be a better year, but life is unpredictable, you know. But for the most part, many of us live our lives in a very predictable fashion. We go through the same routines day by day without a lot of variation. We get up, we get ready, we go to work, we come home, we do chores, we eat dinner, we read or watch some TV, and we go to bed. And the next day we get up and do it all over again, same things. It's sort of a wash, rinse, spin dry, repeat cycle. Even Sundays can be predictable. You know, you get up, you go to church, you listen to a boring sermon. You go home, you eat lunch, you either take a nap or you watch football. Then you go to bed. The only day that can have some real variation is your day off, if you have one. And then you can go do some things that you don't normally do. But the weird thing is, on one hand, we don't mind routine. We like it because it's predictable. We like to know what to expect. We don't like surprises so much. But on the other hand, we hate routine. It's boring. So what can we do? Well, the simple answer is to change our routine. But change is a word we don't like either. Even if it's changing for the good, because change involves getting used to something new. But that doesn't have to be avoided. It can be embraced with enthusiasm, really. There are some ways to do that, and that's what I'd like you to think about this morning. Some ways to make your routine less routine. You can have a routine day, but not really know what you'll experience along the way. Police officers, doctors, EMT personnel, they never know what to expect when they go to work. And many will say that's what they like about their job. They never know what's going to happen on any given day. That can be exciting. It can also be a little scary, you know? But that might not be you. You might prefer a very predictable routine. Now, that doesn't mean you're doomed. Even if you have a routine day where you pretty much know what you'll be doing all day long, it doesn't have to be completely routine. Now, for instance, your work may be predictable, but the conversations you have with the people around you don't have to be predictable. Instead of the routine small talk, start a conversation about current events or some exciting topic. Maybe tell a funny joke or story. Did anything out of the ordinary happen to you over the weekend? You know, when somebody says, well, what did you do this weekend? Don't just say, nothing much, or same old, same old. Tell them what you did, even if it seems ordinary to you. Maybe it's a movie you went to see, or a book you're reading, or maybe it's the thought-provoking sermon you heard on Sunday. Your work may be routine, but your conversations don't have to be routine. And speaking of Sunday, there are some Sunday routines that don't have to be routine either. One of these things is communion. We do this every Sunday. And it can become a routine. A lot of people say that's why they don't do it every Sunday, because it just becomes a routine thing. But it shouldn't become a routine, because what we're focused on is always the same. But what we can say about it and think about it is anything but routine. As you've noticed, I usually give a little meditation before we have the Lord's Supper. And I use a different illustration every time. I use different scriptures each time. Or even if it's the same scripture, the focus can be on a different part of the scripture. We can talk about remembering. We can talk about the blood of Christ. We can talk about giving thanks, the crucifixion, Jesus' sacrifice during His ministry, His resurrection, our repentance, our salvation, our lives. There are a lot of different things we can focus on while we remember this one thing. The act is repetitive, but what we do with it does not have to be repetitive. It should not be. And some other Sunday routines about things that are routine, like always sitting in the same seat, or always talking to the same people. Change it up. Break it out of your comfort zone. Maybe change the time you typically come to church. Come earlier. Or maybe change how long you hang out afterward talking with people. Now, that's a little awkward right now with the COVID, but I've seen times when you think nobody's going home after church. Let people just stay and talk and visit and really enjoy the fellowship. Are there some routine things in your life that you could insert some variation to make them less routine? I think there probably are. I heard a story about a young soldier and his commanding officer that got on a train together. They had traveled by train numerous times for various assignments, and the young soldier thought this was just going to be another boring train ride. The only available seats on the train were across from a young, attractive woman who was traveling with her grandmother. So they engaged in pleasant conversation. The young soldier was thinking, well, maybe this ride won't be so routine after all. She's pretty cute. And they talked, and the girl and the soldier kept kept eyeing one another, and it was obvious that the attraction was mutual. Suddenly the train went into a tunnel, and the car was pitch black. And there were two sounds that were heard, the smack of a kiss and the smack of a slap across the face. And the grandmother thought, I can't believe he kissed my granddaughter, but I'm glad she slapped him for it. And the commanding officer thought, I don't blame the boy for kissing her, but it stinks that she missed him and hit me instead. And the young girl thought, I'm glad he kissed me, but I wish my grandmother hadn't slapped him for it. Are you confused yet? Well, the train broke out of the tunnel into the sunlight. The soldier had a young, big grin on his face. He had just seized the opportunity to kiss a pretty girl and to slap his commanding officer. Well, I'm not suggesting that you seize that kind of an opportunity, but if we want to change up our routine, we have to take advantage of opportunities. Paul said in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. God expects us to be thinking and be aware of what's going on around us. And there may be many opportunities that present themselves. Especially when it comes to sharing our faith. We should take advantage of every opportunity or to share our faith or to do good for other people or to encourage them. Looking for opportunities means we're trying to improve our routine. We want to make a difference. And that's part of the problem with having a boring routine. We feel like it's not accomplishing anything. We're just doing the same things over and over again. And we may not be able to change our routine, but we can keep it from being routine. If we're going to escape the routine rut, then we need to do something to make our routine less routine. Now, in order to accomplish that, we have to avoid some routine mistakes. Somebody said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. You've heard that, I'm sure. But if nothing changes, then nothing changes. Sometimes we want things to change. We don't want to keep performing the same old stuff all the time. But the problem is, even though we want things to change, we don't like what it takes to make them change. Change involves effort and consistency. Deciding to change something is a big deal. Actually making the change is a bigger deal. And maintaining the change is the biggest deal of all. When we realize we need to change, that's a big deal. But too often, what we know we should do doesn't translate into action. So making the change, actually making the change, is a bigger deal. But so often we start out strong and then fade away. Like New Year's resolutions, you know. So maintaining the change is the biggest deal of all. Maybe your routine this past year was try and fail, try, fail again, try again, fail again. But really, we don't fail as long as we try again. But that doesn't make failing easier to deal with, does it? Ask the UK basketball team. They'll tell you. Failing is not easy to deal with. It's frustrating to try and fall short. So what can I do to change that? Well, one thing, look at your process. How do you go about doing what you set out to do? Maybe your lack of success is not so much you, but the way you go about it. Developing a new strategy may help you. Maybe you set the bar too high to begin with. It's easier to reach small goals. Say you want to lose 50 pounds this year. Don't make that your goal. Make your goal to lose 3 pounds a week or something like that. Something you know you can do. Realistic goals. And if you want to memorize the whole Bible, don't start out trying to do that. Start out maybe memorizing a chapter a week. It'll take you a long time. And you have to maintain the dickens out of it to memorize the whole Bible. But the whole point is, do things, make your goal something that you can reach. Realistic. One of the big mistakes we make in trying to change our routine is being stubborn. Now, I know none of you are stubborn, but I am, sort of. We're challenged to do something differently and we refuse. We say, I like the way I do it now, so don't try to get me to change. Someone might be showing us how something could work better if we did it a different way, but we're too prideful and too stubborn to even consider it. We're so committed to doing our way of doing things that we don't want to learn a better way. I read somewhere that years ago, most watches, I still wear one. Most watches were made in Switzerland. They were mechanical with gears that moved to keep time, and for decades, all watches were made the same way. One day, a man came up with a way to make it better. He invented the quartz watch movement. It did not run with gears. It operated much differently from the traditional watch movement. And he flew to Switzerland and tried to sell his idea to the watch companies who were making most of the watches in the world. And they all refused to consider this new idea. You know, watches had run for many, many years. And they had gears and they were pretty accurate. So they wouldn't bother with it. So he flew to Japan. They didn't have a tradition of making watches there at that time. And he sold them his quartz movement. And before you knew it, all the watches in the world were coming from Japan because it was a better way for them to work. Where would we be today if nobody ever decided to change the norm and build a better mousetrap? Of course, there are times when if something's fixed, if something's not broke, we shouldn't fix it. But there are other times when it doesn't hurt to try to reinvent the wheel, I think. We can be flexible. We need to just decide, well, what do I want to change in my life? Will there be an advantage to doing that? Will I gain something? What could I lose by doing it? What are the pros and cons? And certainly, wisdom and discernment are good tools. You have to consider things. Stubbornness and pride are not very good tools for changing your routine. So setting the right kind of goals, doing away with your pride and stubbornness. And another routine you may have been making is resisting God. Whether it's routinely rejecting His call to salvation or resisting His will and control in your daily life. If you want to escape that rut in 2021, maybe this will be the year when you'll start to become a new creation and let God renew your mind and your soul. You know, it's possible for God to call out to us and for us to routinely dismiss His call. Jeremiah delivered the word of the Lord to his people. And he said from the time he was speaking, this is what God told the people. From the time I brought your forefathers up from Egypt until today, I warned them again and again, saying, obey me. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubbornness of their evil hearts. So I brought on them all the curses of the covenant I had commanded them to follow, but that they did not keep. God is aware of our stubbornness. And that's a theme that gets repeated throughout the book of Jeremiah. In the 25th chapter, Jeremiah says, for 23 years, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I've spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. 23 years is a long time to keep repeating yourself to someone who pays no attention, wouldn't you think? But this shows God's patience. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is patient with us. He's not wanting anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. So while we keep making the same routine mistakes, we just get deeper and deeper into our rut, routinely making the mistake of ignoring God's call has some very serious consequences. But if we do decide to get out of our rut and make some positive changes, you have to be prepared for the fact that some people might not take it well, especially if you're making changes for Jesus. I read about a man who was going to work one day and he was pulled over by a police officer. He walked up to the man's car and he said, didn't you see that stop sign? And the man said, well, I've been traveling this road for 20 years and I've never stopped at that sign. And the policeman said, oh, well, I bet you will now, and handed him a ticket. The next morning, the same officer was called to investigate a wreck at that same intersection. And much to his amazement, when he got to the first car, it was the same man he'd given a ticket to the day before. And the trooper shook his head and said, I can't believe I'm standing here looking at you after what happened yesterday. The man said, it's not my fault. I was hit from behind. So the trooper walked back to the second car and he said, all right, what happened here? And the man in the second car said, it's not my fault. I've been following this guy on my way to work for 20 years and he's never stopped at that stop sign until today. He wasn't prepared for the changes that fellow made in his life. Some people might not be ready for changes you make in your life, and you have to be aware of that. But don't let that stop you from making them, especially if you're making changes for the Lord. I think we ought to embrace what I would call positive predictability. Being predictable, being positive, and being predictable about it. Now, we're talking about escaping the rut of routine, but that doesn't mean that patterns in your life are necessarily a bad thing. It's not changing to a different routine, it's changing the routine you already have. But some things will be predictable. And there's things in your life that ought to be predictable. We like to be able to depend on certain people to do what they've always done. Oh, there's folks in this church that I depend upon because they are so dependable. If someone is predictably present at work every day or at church every week, that's a good thing. If someone is predictably punctual, on time, that's a positive thing. Being routinely responsible or routinely reliable is really important. When someone doesn't have to be concerned whether or not you will be faithful or trustworthy, it's a great comfort and assurance to them. When we have positive patterns in our lives, we need to embrace them. In many ways, God is predictable. Yes, God works in mysterious ways, but that doesn't mean there's nothing predictable about Him. God will meet all of our needs because He promised He would. He said He would comfort us. He said He would never leave or forsake us. He said He's preparing a place for us in heaven. These are predictable things about God. They shouldn't stop with God. Granted, people are not as reliable as God is, but if we're trying to be like Him, we will work on being more regular and predictable in our lives. Paul was happy for the help he received from the Philippian church. They had helped him time and again when he needed help. And he wrote a letter to thank them for it. That doesn't mean it will always be this way, but because life is unpredictable, we don't know what the future holds. We need to accept the fact that life is unpredictable, but it's nice to have people in our lives who are dedicated in their routine and their willingness to help. We need to escape unhealthy routines while embracing the good routines, things that reflect the character of God. So I'm just wondering, how are you going to escape the rut of your routine this year? You think this is going to be a better year? I hope and pray it will be for you. And we're going to sing this invitation hymn number 314. If maybe there's a change you want to make in your life and you want us to know about it, we invite you to step out and come forward while we sing just the first and the last verses of Jesus, I Come. Out of my bonded sorrow and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into thy freedom, gladness, and night. Jesus, I come to thee, out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the joy and light of thy home, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into to the peace of thy sheltering fold. Ever thy glorious face to behold. Jesus, I come to thee. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this world does its best to dampen our faith, destroy the joy that you give us. We turn to you to be refreshed day by day. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for prayer. And thank you for opportunities we have to share the love of Christ with other people. For these are things which help us to grow in the likeness of your Son. Deepen our faith, we pray, and send us out of here with renewed joy because of all you have promised us in Jesus. For we pray it all in His precious name. Amen. I wanted to mention one other thing. I will mention it. At least right now, Kay Jacina is going to have surgery also, a knee replacement, I believe. But she doesn't have a date yet, so I can't announce it yet. Further information coming.